Well, the track sprinters use them because they have too much power because they're generating, you know, 2,800 watts out of the gate. Don't imagine Joe Biden has that same problem. It's episode number 481 and Sarah's back with more newbie questions. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this. How do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Roadman, it's Friday. Welcome back to episode number 481 of the Roadman Cycling Podcast. Sarah is back in the hot seat.
Yo, it's Friday, everybody. Can't wait. We've got the training camp this week.
We've got the training camp at the weekend. Are you going to be training hard or are you going to be driving the team car?
Team car, yes. I have the, the thing you shout into.
The megaphone,
have that ready.
Not traditional cycling, more you see them at parades, but I'm glad you're bringing them.
And the vuvuzela as well for everybody.
Yeah, more again a niche South African football fan utensil than something you associate with cycling racing.
I can't wait. I wish I was cycling, but no, I think I'll hang back and make sure that everyone is happy and no one needs to get into the van.
Oh, very noble of you.
It really is. I'm sacrificing my weekend for you guys. It should be fun though, can't wait. How are you this week?
Good. I'm excited to announce a training camp that's not in Ireland. When will we be having our Girona training camp and some sunshine?
Yeah, September.
September. When's the announcement coming?
Probably this day next week. We'll have all the details kind of finalised. So we'll chat about it then, and we'll have a webpage for you all to go to and check it out. But we've done it there a few times and it's been a roaring success.
The villa's pimping. Would you say so myself?
Yeah, it is pimping. Yeah, it's very, very pimping.
And we had Dirk Friel on the podcast this week. Did you listen to it?
I actually didn't listen to it. Yeah, tell me about it. You got me out there.
So this is very relevant for you, Sarah, as a new cycling coach and your mentor and some of your newbies.
Mm-hmm.
It's everyone now, we owe a debt of gratitude to Dirk Friel because he's changed how we coach. He's made it possible to coach, because before Dirk Friel came along and founded Training Peaks, people were faxing training plans out to other people. They were telephoning or they were posting. They weren't far off carrier pigeons.
There might be listeners here who don't know what a fax is.
There might be listeners who don't know what the internet is also.
Well, that's very true.
Actually, how did they get the podcast then? But it's brilliant. It's worth listening to. He's a really interesting guy, but totally, totally changed the game for coaches and athletes.
And like it is a science now, and it's evolved as a science. The amount of information I can get about my athletes that I coach is insane. And the amount of information, some people love that much information. They love the science and they want to know the numbers. And then other people couldn't give a damn about it. So it's very individual, but I think it's really, really interesting. I will definitely give that a listen.
We spoke last week about Pinarello's new gravel bike and they've launched another new one.
Yeah, it came out big in the news this week, didn't it? If you were on the internet, cycling internet at all, you would have seen this. Geraint Thomas's new time trial bike. You looked at it and you were like, is that decked out in diamonds?
Yeah, it looks like those. What are those?
Swarovski crystals.
Yeah, like diamantes or something.
Diamante. Diamante, come in for your dinner. It's really, really cool looking. It was the debut for that bike and looks pretty, pretty cool. Looks fast. We had our Elite National Time Trial Champs registration this week as well.
Yeah, and it's really poor. It's a sign of the times for cycling participation. There was only 13 people signed up for the Irish National Elite Time Trial Champs. And one of them, our current defending champion, Ryan Mullen, did not start, which I would imagine signals that he has been selected for Bora Hansgrove for the Tour de France, as him and Bennett not starting the road race on the champs either on Sunday. So you would imagine both of them are packing the bags for a little bon voyage and tour around France. But really disappointing numbers for the time trial champs, and numbers in Ireland in bike races in general have been very poor despite participation being at an all-time high.
Is that a sign of the times, you know, around the world then for, you know, these kind of events?
I think bike races are struggling in general around the place, and I don't know, there's a number of reasons. We can nearly do a full podcast on it. Club races are getting a lot better. People are electing to just race locally in clubs. Zwift participation is higher than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe excluding the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Also, some stuff like the time trials, it's prohibitively expensive to go into the time trial with any sort of decent equipment. Like that new Beloit, the diamond encrusted one that Thomas is doing, I would say probably north of 16, 17 grand for that bike. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And like everything is expensive. I saw you when you were even doing track with the Irish team on the tandem. New aero handlebars, 600 quid. New aero helmet, 500 quid. Bond shoes, 400 quid. Like it is an expensive hobby.
Do you know who needs a new set of pedals for his bike? Mr. Joe Biden.
Oh.
El Sleepy
God,
Joe.
God, love him. Because like we've all had a topple from our bike when we come to a standstill. We all get a little bit confused as to which leg to, clip in and out of. But we don't all have the entire world looking at us.
But he just got stitched up. Whoever put Joe on that bike was, it was chronic. Like, why is he not rolling in brand new 51?
But Joe is athletic. Joe is athletic. Like he's a fit guy, you know. It's not like that was his first time on the bike or even using cages. Like, what type of bike was it? Sorry, I didn't even notice.
It was not a ball and new Beloit TT bike.
He's a man of the people. Maybe that's why.
It was like a $500 bike from Walmart.
It wasn't the bike that made him topple over now. It was the confusion of the cages on the pedals.
Yeah, but you don't get those cages on any bike that's like reasonably priced. He had to transport himself back to like 1984 to get a set of those cages. We're talking about the toe straps on the pedals, if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about. So you've got like flat pedals normally, which means here having the commuting bikes. Or you have your clip-in pedals, which you'd have on your training bike. But somebody in their wisdom decided to put Joe on these like 1980s toe straps that are really hard to get in and out of. Have you ever used them, sir?
Yeah, I used them for my first ever. I spoke about it at my Solocast on Saturday, my first ever group spin, Sportif. And I was using cages, those little kind of toe straps for that. And they were, I don't know how I got around with my teeth intact because they are really, really hard to get out of sometimes. And people tighten them right in. The only place they should be used is on the track, I think. Those, straps to tighten you in.
Well, the track sprinters use them because they have too much power for the regular, Shimano cleats. So they pull themselves straight out of that because they're generating, 2,800 watts out of the gate. Don't imagine Joe Biden has that same problem.
Okay, Anthony, Tour de France is looming. Can't wait. But somebody here writes in, who does Anthony think will win the Tour de France? I'm looking to have a little flutter.
Look, I think
We don't promote gambling in any way.
No, we do. I always promote gambling on the podcast. I've given odds on the podcast.
Have you?
Yeah. No, I'm a heavy proponent of gambling. I think the podium is pretty locked in with Jonas Vingegaard, Pogacar and Roglic. I don't know what order they come in. You would think a 2-1-1 for Jumbo-Visma might be enough to unseat Pogacar and not have him win a Tour de France, but
Pogacar
really difficult
looked,
to know.
He looked deadly last week, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's Tour of Slovenia and it's like his training camp at the moment. Did you see him?
He's just so cool. I love him.
Micah playing rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah, that was amazing. That's how we decide a lot of stuff.
We decide who collects the takeaway from the front door. So again, we've so much in common with Pogacar.
On the plane home from Canada, I heard a story about you with Peter Ryan, who's the blind athlete on the back of the tandem. Anthony basically hustled Peter Ryan, blind athlete, out of his new Apple Watch, a new top, a new Rafa jersey, playing rock, paper, scissors on the way home from Canada. You had a slight advantage there.
Peter, no, I didn't.
Because there are
advantage.
Reads. There's reads when you play this game.
I'm just exceptionally talented at rock, paper, scissors. Peter lost everything. He lost his money, his watch, his shoes, his dignity. It was all left on the plane in a particularly traumatic 6-hour flight for him.
Proud of yourself.
I'm absolutely delighted with myself. I rang my mom as soon as I got off and I was like, you know what? It's a new career high.
Good stuff. Okay, right. That's your three for the podium?
I think that's everyone's three for the podium.
Okay. All right. And who's in the sprint? Who's in the green jersey then?
Yours, as a proud Irishman, like to say Bennett, but I don't see it. I'm going to say, Wout van Aert.
Wout van Aert, what a legend as well. Okay, next question. So, Ryder writes in, descending. I'm very nervous going downhill. Does Anthony have any tips for getting more confident and also faster, especially for cornering at speed?
I like that. It's really cryptic as well. Ryder writes in. Is it like Ryder Hesdal? Like R-Y-D-E-R?
I do have a name, but I don't, you know, I'll keep all of these people completely anonymous.
Yeah, so this is a problem one, isn't it? Because it starts off saying, I'm very nervous going downhill. And then he's looking for more tips for speed, for cornering at speed. So I don't know.
Let's do the nervous thing first and then the speed thing. Because if he gets over the jitters or, you know, that little kind of shaky feeling, then you can kind of start concentrating on speed.
Really nervous going downhill. I think it's a case of graded adaptation. And that sounds really complicated. But just go a little bit faster each time than you're comfortable with. And small bit faster, like if you're going downhill at 40k an hour, next time try go 42k an hour and gradually work up the speed rather than going from 40k an hour to like 60k an hour and being totally out of control. You can get a pretty bad accident if you crash going downhill. So chill and don't put yourself in any position that you're not comfortable navigating or negotiating.
Okay, so I like going downhill, but I've been fortunate enough to be following you. In my whole cycling journey, I've been following you up and down hills, and I just kind of do what you do. So I look at you and I take your exact line. Now, you'll be way ahead of me probably because you're an amazing descender, but that's kind of what I do. So if you have a good person, you know, in your club that's good at descending, watch what they do. I mean, you don't want to, obviously, if you're nervous, try and keep up with them if you're out of your comfort zone, but what do you think of that?
Yeah, it is a good idea in general to watch people that are better than you.
Watch the good lads.
Yeah, watch the good lads is one of the best tips I ever got. You also haven't crashed on a downhill, touch wood, Sarah.
No, touch wood,
kills confidence, and it takes a long time for that to come back. So maybe this Ryder A, protecting his anonymity, has had a crash. So tips for getting a little bit more confident and faster, practice on dry days. Don't have too hard PSI in your tires because you're going to really bounce around the corners. And watch how pros are descending. Watch, there's a fastest line through the corners. Like apexing through the corners means you're a little bit smoother. You're not leaning the bike very much. Also some just real basic stuff. It doesn't matter how fast you go into a corner. It's speed coming out of the corner that matters. Not braking in the corner. Definitely not too much on the front brake because it straightens you out quite a bit. And have your outside leg down.
Yeah, have your outside leg down. I see people do that all the time. They have their inside leg down. So you want the angle on your inside leg.
Yeah, so it's an Aladdin Criterium that I was racing on Wednesday night, sparked his pedal going around the corner because he had the wrong pedal down going around the corner.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense balance-wise to have it that way at all. It really, really doesn't make sense. Okay, I think some brilliant tips there. Thank you very much, Anthony.
You're welcome, Sarah.
And then in other news, the UCI announced its location for the first UCI official gravel world champs. It's going to be hosting Italy, and it's for the first ever gravel rainbow jersey, which is really cool. And it's open to professional and amateur cyclists alike. That's happening on the 8th and 9th of October. Are you going to have a little, are you going to give it a lash?
I'm more tempted than I have been in a lot of years to come back training for some gravel racing. It's actually off the back of the podcast that I had with Jeremiah Bishop last week, and he's been a pro since 1999. And on that, he said to me, the secret is new challenges. It's secret to longevity in the sport. When he said that, something just clicked, and gravel is popping so much at the moment, and it's so much of what we talk about on the podcast. So I am tempted to come back. Look, I'm not going to get any shape this season, but I am tempted to start racing some gravel races.
You're going to take a little nibble out of the World Champs in October, so we'll be over there flying the Irish flag with you.
We'll see.
Okay, another rider writes in, any advice on how to get more aero without spending a fortune on wind tunnel, aero socks, helmet, etc. So this is kind of like, you know, this person wants to get more aero but doesn't want to go and spend the small fortune that it takes to do so with kit.
I have a brilliant podcast coming up next week with Michael Hutchinson, Dr. Hutch, who's written the book Faster, and he's multiple Irish time trial champion, British track time trial champion because he lives in the north and he could ride both. He's also set some blisteringly fast times. I think like his PB is under 17:30 for a 10 miler. So stupidly fast, under 45 for a 25 miler. So we talk a lot about this, how to go faster without spending a fortune on kit. Really, it's body position. And there's some really basic testing you can do. like, you know, one I used to do back in the day was I'd test a bunch of helmets, go to the top of Hoat Hill, and I would roll down in helmet A, mark with chalk where I finished, come back up to the top of the hill, put on helmet B, roll down, mark with chalk where I finished. This is called roll down testing. So you're trying to minimize the frontal area. That's your CDA. So you're trying to make smaller that CDA. But that podcast with Michael Hutchinson goes into a lot of detail of ways you can use, you know, basic stuff like Photoshop for counting the number of pixels on your frontal area, and where you can really do hack and botch jobs at home without having to go to a wind tunnel to go faster. Really interesting.
Oh, that's really, really cool. How much are you talking for going into a wind tunnel per hour?
£500 an hour.
£500 an hour. Yeah. And that includes all the, you know, they kind of dig into your numbers and video analysis, all that kind of stuff. Or is that just hiring the tunnel?
Like, you get the engineers with the tunnel for 500 an hour, but I think there's a minimum spend of like maybe, there's no point going in for an hour. I think it's like minimum spends like 2.5 or 3 hours or something like that.
Okay, whoa. Okay, so yeah, listen to that podcast next week and try and get some purse-friendly tips. Okay, we also got an question in this week about cleat position, Anthony. Now, I had a little look at it. You said to me, you passed it off to me, basically. You were like, Sarah, can you cover that? Do a bit of research. And when I had a look, I just got completely confused with the terminology. So I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into cleat position this week, and we'll cover it next week, if that's okay.
That's okay. Let's roll on to Tech Corner.
Okay, brilliant. What do you want to chat about?
Well, I've seen Wahoo have a rollers out on the market, which is a new roller that you can't fall off. So I just thought that's really interesting idea. As somebody who has fallen off of rollers and gone through my parents' coffee table at 11:30 at night.
You fell asleep on the rollers.
I fell asleep. I've fallen off the rollers many, many times before as well, for various reasons. If you lose concentration for a little bit, but the rollers, the beauty of the rollers is time passes a little faster on the rollers. When you're on the Watt bike or the indoor trainer, you don't have to do anything. There's no balance. And time seems to go a little bit slower when there's no balance. It's like driving on a motorway with cruise control on. You can kind of zone out, whereas you can't zone out on the rollers. But Wahoo have now made a rollers that you can't fall off. So I'm not sure if that defeats the whole purpose of rollers.
How do they make it so you can't fall off?
You're like locked into them.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
It
is like a turbo trainer, but it's got no resistance.
No, it has resistance.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's just the technology on it is you leave your back wheel on, where a lot of the turbo trainers now, you're taking your back wheel off and you're putting your bike directly into a cassette and you're riding, and it's not a very road-like feel. So Wahoo have said leave your back wheel on, mount it into this new roller system. You can have resistance. I don't know. I don't really see the point in it. I wouldn't be one. I'd be rushing out the door to buy. Also, you can't take all the resistance off, as far as I know, which means if you're doing Zwift and things, which I know it's an application that I don't love, but a lot of people that get indoor stuff want to race Zwift. You can't freewheel downhill in a race in Zwift, which would make it very difficult for you to be competitive in races in virtual Zwiftopia.
What's the damage on them? Much?
Don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't know. Sound expensive though.
Yeah, they do. One of my newbie cyclists that I'm coaching went into the bike shop. This girl, she doesn't clip in. She's still in flat pedals. And instead of a turbo trainer, they sold her rollers. Like, why? You know? Anyway, I got her to send them back. No, she doesn't have the...
They're a different tool.
Yeah.
They're not a tool for doing intervals. I used to try and do intervals on rollers. And it's like when I was using rollers, the ones I had, we didn't have any resistance on it. So a little hack was to put a towel under the back roller to give yourself some more resistance as you were going, because you couldn't ride at north of 300 watts on a rollers without having your legs beat at like 140, 150 cadence. And that started getting tricky to maintain. So you used to put a towel under the back of it. But if you put the towel with the seam like lined up on the roller, the seam would actually start to burn through the plastic of the roller.
Wow.
And once or twice, like I nearly set the house on fire with this. It was absolutely chronic.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, we'll leave it at that, I think, for this week. So
we will indeed. And Sarah, you're back tomorrow for another much anticipated. To coin Sarah's quote, people look forward to my podcast.
Yeah, and as you said, my mom and my sister.
You're back tomorrow. Anything slated to talk about? Yeah.
No, not at all. I'm going to have a little look now and see what kind of questions people have been sending in and base it around that.
It's been a pleasure. Sarah, thanks for chatting again. And I'll be back on Monday and Sarah will be back tomorrow. Have a great weekend and ride safe, everybody.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Have you ever wondered how good you could actually be? Each of us has a unique set of circumstances with work, family, and social obligations, but we also want to fulfill our potential in cycling. Okay, maybe you won't ever win the Tour de France, but for most of us, this is what cycling is about. So let us build you the perfect training plan around your lifestyle that's totally unique to you and will help you finally realize your cycling dreams. So whether you're just getting started on the bike or if you're a more seasoned cyclist, we have a suitable coach for you. So why not schedule a call with us and we can have a chat about how we can help you go further than you ever dreamed of in your cycling and fitness goals. Go to roadmancycling.com/contact or pop me an email directly to sarah@roadmancycling.com.